6. The Particular Bargains. In the waters of a clear, cold river east of the camp, Lank Skettlish was swimming, naked, working his body against the gentle onrush of the river toward the ocean. Trun sat on the rocks at the riverbank, her suit leaning back on its arms next to her. The river bristled with pinpoints of light, Lank's body sinuous and strong. He'd invited her for a swim, and when he'd taken off all his clothes, Trun had felt very strongly that a skinny dip with the founder and CEO of Fantail was not going to make this month feel less weird for her. "Suit," she said, "do you know how to build a raft, or like, a boat?" The suit had already shown her the built-in mini buzz saws in its gauntlets, the heat-bonding microblades, the laser sights for pinpoint accuracy in construction projects. She had been on the island for nearly 5 weeks. The suit had shown her what work needed to be done, and she'd added in some tricks of her own, different ways of doing things. They cut creeper and set it to dry on a wooden platform to make a serviceable and tough rope. Trun showed Lank how to bend wires carefully into fish hooks and set fishing poles in the still bend of the river where the spike-toothed carp rose. They picked fruit off 3 of the trees the suits told them were safe to eat from, and in the embers of the fire, they baked the pink-fleshed long apples with the thousands of tiny seeds inside and ate them hot from the ash. At the camp, she had helped Ellen and Zimri with some construction, securing the sleeping platform, reinforcing the stockade against wild animals. "Yes," said the suit, "I know how to do those things." "Okay, so what type of vessel would you recommend for the ocean here?" "The seas here are rough with unstable tidal conditions since oceanic warming. There is little chance of survival on open water in a home-built raft."
Obstructionist.
"Okay, but we could try, couldn't we? Maybe use pieces of the wrecked fuselage of the plane?" "I don't know how to construct a raft like that." She thought she could figure it out if she had to. She remembered Marius telling his students that a bead tumbling around in a matchbox could never come up with a new possibility, only a remix of the old ones. She missed him suddenly with a fierce pang and told herself sternly in her own mind, "Remember, you will never see him again." Lank pressed his hands onto the rock and lifted himself out of the water. He was long, lean, and muscular. He was not unattractive. All right, he was attractive. She'd admired men in the abstract and occasionally in the specific, but never enough to actually want to date one. Lank was also known as a volatile charmer, a man who got what he wanted through a mixture of fierce intelligence, aggression, and charisma, deployed in whatever proportions would work. She thought of Martha, dealing with this man year after year, decade after decade. No wonder she'd been so fucking suspicious and cagey. He sat next to her on the rock, naked and unembarrassed.
"So, you slept with Martha, right? How was it?"
"What kind of a question is that?"
"It's an end-of-the-world question. Martha's in a bunker somewhere. We are here. Probably neither of us will see her again. Why not tell me?"
"I don't fancy giving you material about my life for your wank bank."
"Fair enough. I'm just saying we're going to be here a long time. Probably just you and me for a lot of it. Zimri is sick, his leg's bad. We've used a lot of antibiotics on him already. Even if he recovers, an illness this long will have taken years off him. Ellen's 67. There are going to be years, maybe decades, when it's just us, and we'll end up telling each other everything."
"You always think you know what's going to happen."
"So far, I always have."
He cracked a smile, charming and deadly. Lank said,
"Want to know a secret?"
"Sure."
"Something will come for me, eventually."
"Because you always know what's going to happen."
"Because I change what's going to happen. I have a tracker. Here."
Lank motioned to a spot just behind his right ear.
"Dead man switch. I have to tell the system every morning that everything's okay or it sets off an alert. And then everything goes all out to find me."
"Yeah? Why hasn't anything come for you already?"
"That's how I know we don't want to get off this island right now," said Lank. My best guess is that the alarm has gone off, but my people are too engaged solving other problems to want to go and look for what they'd presume would be my corpse. Not to mention that a lot of them are dead or in a bunker, waiting out the storm.
So why is anything going to come for you?
They'll have to confirm I'm dead before the system will give them access to some sensitive materials. At worst, there'll be drones in a few months, I guess. Yeah, depending on how bad it gets out there. Maybe even years. Eventually, something will come.
Is that what the others think too?
Probably. They'll have systems, I'm sure, something. There's no way they've told us everything. I haven't.
The river plashed, the surface alive with humming insects. As Chun watched, the glassy surface bowed outward around the snapping, teeth-filled mouth of a fish, grabbing at the black and violet lacy wings of a dragonfly. Nothing is ever really over.
"You're talking to me about it, because I'm not a player," she said.
Lank smiled lazily.
"Whatever you think is coming after this, I'm not going to be part of it. Not in the way the three of you are."
"Martha never did pick any idiots," said Lank.
"So?"
"What?" said Lank.
"What is it that you think is going to come after this?"
Lank's eyes were closed to the sun.
"Well," he said, "I suspect they each have an army out there, somewhere. And I suspect they have an army because I know I have one. We are not clean, you know. Of all of us, you're the cleanest one here. Have you thought about how it was that we ended up on this island?"
"What do you mean?" Chun said. "An army?"
"Well, look," said Lank. "We were never supposed to end up here. The survival suits are great, obviously, but this part, the first part where the disease burns itself out among the population and there are a lot of corpses, I was supposed to spend that in luxury, okay? I have a place in Greenland, a place in the Canadian Arctic, a mountain in Wyoming, all well equipped. This lashing together logs with vines to make sleeping platforms? No, this wasn't it."
"It wasn't it for them either," said Chun. "For Zimri and Ellen."
"Right," said Lank. "So this is what I mean about an army. I don't mean people, you understand. Neither of them has told you how the plane crashed, right?"
Chun shook her head.
"Okay, then,"